This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It is another edition of Phillies Today. I'm your host, James Seltzer. It is Tuesday, May the 26th. I hope everyone had a happy and healthy and safe Memorial Day weekend. It was nice to have the extra day to spend with the family and relax a little bit and take it easy. Now back to work, as hopefully a lot of people have the opportunity to do now today on Tuesday. And hopefully what we're all hoping for is that Major League Baseball will be back to work in the not too for the past few months here, as we continue to find our way through this time sans sports. Generally, first pot of the week has been kind of a recap of where we're at, what's going on, and this will be no different as we continue to deal with the overtly public arguments between the players and the owners, which is just absolutely insane to me. We've talked about this a ton of times. But obviously, you know where I stand, that I am firmly on the side of the players as opposed to the owners in this situation. But more than anything, I am firmly on the side of this is ridiculous that we are having this discussion in public and through the media when, as we've discussed many times, millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of people are out of work, and you know, these millionaires and billionaires are fighting in public about coming back to play, which could bring so much hope and so much positivity to this country and to the people of this country. And yet they found a way to tarnish it with this openly public display about, you know, who gets what and what's most important and all that. And it's so incredibly frustrating, just beyond frustrating to watch. But hopefully we've seen some forward momentum recently. And actually today, the owners are supposed to offer an alternative proposal to the players. Let's dive into that a little bit. Ken Rosenthal and Evan Drellick had a good article on The Athletic over the weekend about the situation. We'll dive into that and look at where this stands. As again, I think we are all at the point where I don't even care anymore. Just figure it out. Enough with this public displays of trying to make one group look bad, another group look bad. No one cares. Like, just figure it out. Like, we don't want to hear about arguments about money. But Rosenthal and Drug dove into it and kind of broke down the situation as we head into today's proposal offer from the article. Major League Baseball will not propose a full revenue sharing system to determine player salaries for the 2020 season. People with knowledge of the league's thinking told The Athletic that's a big deal for starters. I mean, we have talked specifically about the issue between the players and the owners being the players wanting their prorated salaries and the owners wanting a revenue split. So if it is not a strictly revenue sharing system, that means that the owners are somewhat budging on their proposed, or at least what we know of their proposed proposal. The article goes on, in a scheduled meeting with the Players Association on Tuesday, that is today, of course, the league plans to offer an alternative proposal, leaving the union with a potential choice. To hold the league to the prorated salaries the two sides agreed to in March, or accommodate the owner's desire for a second, possibly percentage-based cut in some other fashion. The article goes on. Deferring 2020 salary might be the choice the union is most willing to accept. Meanwhile, some player agents are open to pay reductions if the trade-off is financial protection for players this offseason, which some fear might be an otherwise harsh for free agents and arbitration eligible players. We've talked about that. Look, I think free agents after the season are going to get, for all intents and purposes, screwed no matter what. I think that with the money baseball's lost this year, all that type of stuff, I think that those people are in trouble to begin with. I think that no matter what happens here, I mean, I don't know what kind of guarantees the owners could offer. You know, they can't have like a free agency floor or something like that. But the deferring salary is interesting. That idea, the idea that you could defer salary and players are still getting paid what they're supposed to get paid, gives the owners time to catch up. That's fine. I think that seems like a fair offer compared to the, you know, kind of BS offers we've heard so far, so to speak, and basically putting the entire onus. They still put the onus on the players. That's been the whole problem with how this has been publicly, is basically the owners saying, hey, we want to play. We're giving them all these options. But, you know, those greedy players, they just want their money. And it's like, that's not the situation. Let's be real. And to this point, I think that players this offseason and moving forward are going to be in a lot of trouble no matter what. You know, I really do think that is going to be a major issue for players after the season. I think that they're going to have to understand that the financial, it's coming. It's going to come. And they're going to be the ones to bear the brunt of it. The article goes on. To this point, the union has been adamant it will not accept further pay reductions. The players, however, have internally discussed the possibility of deferrals to address the owner's cash flow problems, a source with knowledge of the discussion said. So this is a big deal. Again, like a deferred payments is something that makes a lot of sense in this situation, a situation where the owners are crying poor, saying, you know, we're losing all this money. Granted, they're not willing to open their books, but whatever. And the players are saying, we're not doing a revenue split. Like, we're getting paid what we're supposed to get paid. We're already taking a hit. We're taking all the risk in this situation. We deserve to get paid what we're supposed to get paid. So a salary deferral, which does hit the players a bit because you're deferring the salary, but you're not going to, whenever they get paid it over time, it's not going to be as valuable, obviously, as it is now in this moment. So they will be losing some, but I think a smaller percentage, so to speak, than if it were a revenue split. The article goes on. Although the parties agreed in March to defer draft pick bonuses, the league would not necessarily be open to deferring major league salaries, believing it would only extend the financial pressure on clubs into the future rather than address the problem. Length of season is another potential bargaining chip. The players would make more money for every regular season game played under the current arrangement and therefore could ask the league for an increase from the proposed 82 games. But the league says unless players take another pay cut, it will lose money for every additional game. That doesn't seem real. I mean, that doesn't make a ton of sense. Like the league is trying to say, the owners are trying to say that we're paying the players so much that we're going to lose money no matter what. Open the books. Prove it, is my response to that. But we'll see. The article goes on. The eventual opening of parks to fans might improve the financial picture, but the COVID-19 pandemic makes such revenue uncertain. The league also prefers a shorter schedule to enhance the chances of playing the postseason, when greater revenues are assured. That's fine. I get the postseason part. You don't want to potentially stretch it into December or something and have the potential for a second wave or this or that or whatever to hinder the chance to play the postseason. I understand that. That makes sense. Postseason is when the most revenue is secured. The idea that playing more games without fans is that much of a cash drain as opposed to the potential that you could make money off those games on television networks and whatnot, it doesn't make all the sense in the world to me, but fine. That's their stance. I get it. I do think the concept, though, that, you know, that the owners are losing that much money by not having the stadiums open is, I mean, look, it matters. It's a big part of the cup. But, I mean, I watch a lot of baseball. I see a lot of stadiums that are pretty empty. You know, Kansas City, the White Sox, Padres. You know, I watch a lot of these games where for large portions of the summer, pretty empty. You know, a few thousand people in those stadiums on a night-to-night basis. So I don't know. I don't know the economics. I'm obviously not an expert in this, but I do think that if the owners were willing to open their books and prove it, it would go a long way towards me believing it. But right now, I do question it. The article goes on. Ultimately, nothing forces players to take a further pay cut, and nothing forces the owners to start the season. A potential stalemate that seems to provide the impetus to a new negotiation. The resolution, however, remains unclear, and some player agents fear that preserving prorated salaries only would lead to a bigger problem in the offseason when the owners might cut spending dramatically following their losses. Again, I think that's happening anyway. That's part of the reason I'm so strongly on the player side in this argument. I think that free agent salaries are going to go down. It's just going to happen. I mean, that's the situation we are in. Baseball's lost money. These guys are billionaires. They're businessmen. They make money. That's what they do. And I think that this situation, look, they're losing money no matter what. There is no way Mookie Betts is getting a $400 million contract or whatever he was looking for this offseason. It's not going to happen. It's not. None of these teams are going to do that. It will be depressed, the market. That's why the Real Muto thing is so fascinating for the Phillies, and we talked about that, you know, over the last couple of weeks, the idea that Real Muto, they should have signed him to a long-term deal already, that they made a mistake there, but that this playing out into the offseason of uncertainty, and like there could not be a worse time to be a free agent than in baseball than this offseason, because this upcoming one after the potentially abridged season, because you're right after this happened, that the everything is depressed. I guarantee you, no matter what they say, unless there is some sort of spending floor implemented, which I don't even see how that's possible, and you're forcing teams, like it's impossible to implement that. I don't see any way players' salaries aren't going to be depressed this offseason. Like, it's just going to happen. That's part of the reason I think the players need to get what they can now, because I do think it's going to hurt the union in the long run. I think they're in trouble. I really do believe that no matter what. The article goes on. The union wanted proof of the owner's financial distress, and MLB took more than a week to answer the union's request for financial documents. A reply came Friday night, but sources said the league did not respond in full. It is unclear whether the union considers the information the league sent sufficient for its economists to make a determination about the league's claims before June 1st, an informal deadline for negotiations to be completed if the season is to start by July. There you go. I mean, so I guess the owners have started to open their books, but still not giving enough of what's happening, and that's such a clear way to prove that they're not lying about it. And they've been super reluctant to do so. As you can see, finally, they have decided to give some sort of documents over, but it's clearly not enough. The article goes on. There isn't sufficient time for the PA to verify the financial claims of MLB, agent Seth Levinson said. So MLB doesn't just seek further salary reductions from the players, but also their blind faith. And I think that's part of the key crux of this. Like the idea that the owners are crying poor, and yet they're unwilling to prove the hit they're taking. Like, if you're the players, why would you believe them? I wouldn't. I don't believe them now. I'm not even the players. I'm not even their adversary. I don't believe them. So I do think that's important. The article goes on. Players must have some assurance that after the season that MLB will not abuse the blind faith extended to them. Based on MLB's history, it is very reasonable to expect that clubs will eviscerate free agents and arbitration-eligible players to recoup their losses. Any agreement must protect the players heading into 2021, and that will require MLB to demonstrate its good faith. And again, I agree with that. I just don't know how you safeguard against that. I don't know how you put in a plan that says Mookie Betts was going to make $400 million before, and now he's got to make at least $350 or whatever. I mean, like, I don't understand how you do that. Like, again, a spending floor of some kind, whatever. It feels hard to adjudicate here, and as a result, I just don't see any way the free agents get what they were expecting to get, and I think they take it. The article goes on. For now, 2020 pay remains the primary topic of conversation. The sports collective bargaining agreement expires December 1st, 2021, and sources on both sides note that there is insufficient time to work out a deal comprehensive enough to address all the issues that await. So, another issue down the road. Can't wait. Article goes on. Not all agents view the 2021 offseason ominously, believing some clubs will remain competitive in the marketplace to inject excitement coming off a down year. Some agents, however, believe a concession on salary might be beneficial if the league agreed in exchange to incentivize team spending this winter. To this point, there is no indication top union officials share their thinking, and again, I don't think it's going to happen. So, moving on. Union membership would benefit from making the designated hitter permanent in the National League. Hitters who serve as DHs generally are better paid than, say, the last reliever on a pitching staff. The parties also could agree upon a variety of methods to motivate spending, from setting maximum percentages on payroll reduction to adjusting free agent compensation to easing luxury or tax restrictions on high-revenue teams. That's interesting. Again, I think the luxury tax restrictions, which we know have been an issue here in Philly, I think that's, and it'd be great if they ease them. I think it'll be less important this offseason because I think all teams across the board are going to be dealing with the financial hit they've taken and going to be less willing to spend money regardless of going over the luxury tax and all that. But I think that could help. I think it's a good idea. I think the idea of payroll reduction, maximum percentages on payroll reduction would be fascinating. I think that's a great idea. The idea you can't just reduce your payroll at that level, I think would be helpful. But again, I think all these are small helps that won't actually help the overall. I think they're too small. They're too minute. But the luxury tax thing would help. I think it's going to be, I don't think it's going to make a difference. I think these teams are going to cry poor. I think they're going to, this offseason, hold it against the players, and probably the next offseason, the offseason after that. And it's going to take a while before it gets back to normal. That's my guess. Moving on. Yet, even if the union is willing to trade off a portion of 2020 salaries for some other gain, the commissioner's office might seem resistant. Economists on both sides are capable of estimating the financial impact of most changes to the CBA. As much as the league might want to save money this year, it probably would not give up something of significantly greater value in return. And for the players, a reduction of even 15% on top of their prorated salaries would amount to about $300 million. Think about that. Think about what's at stake there. Going on, the players who have been outspoken about requiring the league to honor its initial agreement might perceive weakness in any compromise by the union, leading to internal friction. Potential divisions also exist among the owners between those who are insistent on another salary reduction and those who are more eager to be in play. That's a fascinating thing, too, that even the owners aren't on the same page. Some owners are saying, hey, let's just get out here and play. We'll figure it out. Whereas other owners are saying, no, we got to figure this out because I'm not taking this hit. How do you respond to that? Take the hit, as far as I'm concerned, but I understand, why it is that way. And I also understand the other side of it, where the players are saying, hey, if we show weakness here when, coming up December 2021, we're going to be beaten in the next negotiations. I understand that, too. I would hope that the situation that is occurring surrounding this, discussions now would make it a little more lenient with regards to being willing to accept something and know that it doesn't mean you're going to accept it next time. It's just what the situation is. But again, it is what it is in this case. Moving on. Perhaps the simplest way to ensure the owners spend would be to institute a salary floor that would require teams to maintain a minimum payroll. Leagues typically accept salary minimums, however, only when there is an accompanying maximum. And maximums are the hallmark of a salary cap system. The players' opposition to a concept it equated to a salary cap is why the league ultimately decided not to propose a 50-50 revenue split for the players in 2020. Good. They shouldn't, as we've discussed, and I agree with the players to fight back against that. A salary floor is an interesting idea. Again, the players have to get some sort of guarantee. This is something where, again, the owners are losing money and they're businessmen. They're billionaires for a reason. They're not going to make it easy on these players who in their mind are costing them money to make money back if the players don't give a little too. So I think it's a very contentious thing. Look, the players and the owners have always had a contentious relationship. That's why the MLB Players Union is one of the strongest unions in the country, because it's had to fight so much and deal with so much. But it's always been contentious. It's already contentious. You've got a negotiation coming for 2021 where the whole collective bargaining agreement needs to be redone. And yet, right now, these sides are having to come together for the greater good. And they're struggling. It's not surprising. They're adversaries. And even you would hope and wish and pray that they would all be able to step back and say, wow, look at what's happening in the world. This is so much more important. That's not the case, clearly. Clearly, it is a business first, and that's okay. It is what it is, but don't think about anything else. Don't think it's anything else. Don't think it's something it's not. It's business. And that's what comes first, and that's clearly what's coming first here. Article goes on. MLB appeared intent on introducing such a plan until the union head Tony Clark told The Athletic 2 weeks ago, quote, unquote, "A system that restricts player pay based on revenues is a salary cap, period." End quote. Although the league disagreed with that assessment, the commissioner's office seemed to realize further pursuit would be fruitless. Some form of revenue sharing might exist in a new proposal, but it will not be the central mechanism for determining player compensation. Good. It shouldn't be. There was no way the players were going to accept it. Good job the owners pivoting instead of just trashing the players in public. They're actually pivoting as well, which they should. Argo goes on. Clark and Commissioner Rob Manfred spoke to each other on Thursday, sources said. The sides continue to negotiate health and safety protocols. Both the union and club sent back suggestion revisions to the league office. The greatest difference between the players and the owners for now remain economic. Whatever the solutions, the parties probably need to keep them as simple as possible, considering they might only have this week and next to reach an agreement without delaying the start of a second spring training beyond the mid-June target date. To this point, much of the talk between MLB and the union on economics has occurred publicly rather than privately. This is the week when actual progress is required. And I think Rosenthal and Drellick hit on the key point there that this has been a public negotiation, and that is a major mistake by everyone involved. They blew this. They blew it. This should have been done privately. The owners were so intent on making the players look bad that they had to make it a public thing when in actuality it's making everyone look bad. No one's happy with anyone in baseball. The idea, the concept, the thought of millionaires and billionaires fighting over money while 40 million people almost have lost their jobs in America over the last 2 months, while everyone in this country is just wishing and praying and hoping for some sense of normalcy, where we have not had sports played since March freaking 11th, while the NBA and the NHL have had no problem doing what they do and keeping what they do quiet. And granted, it's not the start of a season. It's the end of a season. It's a different situation in both cases. But we have not heard a word about the players in the league fighting each other over money. None. Zero. Only baseball. And it is such a massive, epic mistake. And it, look, we're past it. It is what it is. There's no turning that wheel back, so to speak. There's no putting it back in the garage, so to speak. You know, it's not going to happen here. It is what it is. All they can do now is they can look at the situation and say, all right, we can not lose a bunch of fans, or we can lose a bunch of fans. In any scenario where they don't play baseball because of money, you're losing fans. Seriously. And this is such an emotionally charged thing right now. And rightfully so, where I legitimately think you could lose fans for life. And I didn't think that the strike in 94 was that. Granted, they lost fans. They did. They really did. It took the home run chase in 98 to bring people back. Like, people left baseball. People who love baseball were like, you know what? I'm not dealing with this. Screw this amount. They lost fans. People came back. Maybe they didn't lose as many. Whatever. I think this situation, considering what is happening in the middle of a pandemic, where we have 90,000 dead and 40 million unemployed, or whatever those numbers are, close to those numbers, whatever it is, in America, and money between millionaires and billionaires is the reason to not play a sport and bring hope and happiness and normalcy to America? I mean, that's a disaster. That's the end of some people's fandom, legitimately. And rightfully so. It'd be hard to defend it. I have no defense. It's a bunch of jerks if they can't figure this out. So while it has been ugly, it has been public, it has been so poorly handled on both sides from the jump, now is the time to stop fighting in public and figure it out. That's it. It's done. Figure it out. We keep saying that, but it's just what it is. Enough with the public discussions. Enough with the trying to make each other look bad. You both look horrible. Owners, players, you all look like jerks right now. I think the owners look more like jerks, but I think they all look like jerks. Right now, figure it out. Proposal coming today to the players. Figure it out. Figure out what you can live with, what you can't. Let them know. Get it done and give us baseball, because this is getting way out of control. Just enough. All right. Hopefully tomorrow we'll have some information about what the proposal sent to the players look like, where the issues are, where we can move forward, and hopefully enough of this public squabble and they can just get in a room and figure this out, because it is time for baseball. It is time for, it looks like NHL, NBA, they're going to come back. They're figuring it out. MLB needs to too. Figure it out. Stop fighting in public. Stop fighting over money and get it done. All right. Hopefully we'll have this to talk about tomorrow. Otherwise, we'll have some other fun stuff. We'll figure it out. We'll continue to grind along through this new normal. And again, hopefully the proposal goes their way and there's a lot of good and a lot less bad, and we can start to progress towards the start of a season, because that would be amazing. So until tomorrow, thank you for listening to another edition of Phillies Today right here on the Phillies 24/7 Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.